Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello. Welcome back to Wilmington Business Radio. I'm all excited today to bring you our special episode for the Wilmington Convention Center. And our host today, our co-host, is Susan Eaton, the general manager. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Anne. Good to see you again.
Oh, great to see you again. It's been way too long.
It sure has.
So tell me, we got some really interesting people here in the studio?
We do. We're going to talk about convention business and different ways that three businesses, to include the convention center, how we attract business and try and make gather more visitors to our area. Today we have our special guest, Kim Huffam, who is a president and CEO of the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau. How you doing, Kim?
I'm doing great.
How are you doing? Hey, Kim. Hey, Kim. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we also have Captain Terry Bragg, who is the executive director of the Battleship North Carolina
Memorial.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be with such professionals today. This is great.
We're glad you're with us, Terry. So what I wanted to do was just tell our listening audience a little bit about what you do as part of your job on a regular basis. Let's start with you, Kim.
Great. Well, thanks, Susan. We're, of course, the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we are the destination marketing organization for all of New Hanover County, representing Wilmington and our three beach communities of Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville Beach. And we market for leisure business, but more importantly, we also market for convention business, which we're going to be talking about a little bit today. We do have a convention sales staff and a convention sales department that works very closely with the Wilmington Convention Center, as well as with the city and all of our area hotels. And so we're out promoting and telling people about the area and trying to bring meetings and conventions here to the area.
Well, I got to tell you, I work with Kim's staff. We're at the convention center right next door to her office. That office is always buzzing. There's lots of people out and about around that office just looking for information, along with your nice visitor station down in the heart of downtown. You have a nice visitor station on the river. It's just jamming all the time, especially this time of year. It's crazy.
It really is, and we're glad to see that, of course. Not only do we have those two centers in our heart of downtown, but we also have centers at both of our beach communities as well. And they stay busy with visitors coming in, and like I said, this is our busy time of year as far as physical people being here in the area.
How many, I mean, if you had to venture a guess, how many visitors do you track, or can you track them all, come into the area?
That has been the million-dollar question. We get asked that a lot, and it's really hard to gauge that because not only are we a day trip destination, but we also are such a popular overnight destination, right. So it's really hard to track unless we physically put someone kind of at the end of I-40 and across the bridges,
sure,
counting people coming in. So that has been, you know, difficult. I can just say we have lots of visitors, and tourism is just very, very important to our entire community.
Can you give us a sense of even how many, like, hotel rooms we have available or anything like that to give us a sense of?
Well, we have over 7,000 rooms here in the area. But that includes hotels, condos, cottages, and those types of things, which is about half of our inventory. So we have a nice, you know, size inventory. Of course, we'd always like to see a few more. But, you know, we have, you know, there's been said that we've had between 1 and 2 million a year, you know, but of course that's a real guess out there as far as visitors. Yeah.
So speaking of large numbers of ability to handle large numbers of guests, Terry Bragg, the Battleship North Carolina Memorial, that in itself, it's like its own city.
Yeah. Thank you, Susan. It is like its own city, and we refer to it as the city at sea. We tell that story. But yes, absolutely. The Battleship is absolutely booming, if I might use that term. We started our summer season. We are had over 7,000 paid visitors to the Battleship just in the last week.
Wow. In the last week.
And that doesn't count our special events in the evening. And we double book sometimes. And matter of fact, as soon as I finish this interview, I've got to head back to the ship to to greet a military group that will be visiting the ship this evening.
That's great. How big of a staff, or you have probably permanent staff and volunteer staff that help you out. How big is that?
Well, with the state's memorial to many who served and died during World War II, but we operate the battleship with just a permanent staff of only 24 people. And many of those work in the store, keeping our store replenished and selling tickets and stuff. So we operate very lean, so we spend a lot of money for contractors creating jobs, buying material and services in the area. But, we've had 7,000 visitors kicking off our season. We will have somewhere around 210,000, 220,000 paid visitors. And if you add up all those special events, we'll have something over 300,000 visitors come to the Battleship, North Carolina, just this year.
Man. Wow.
What kind of special events do you do there?
Oh, we do the full gamut. And this is one of our successes. We used to sort of be a one-trick pony. We just did visitation, store sales. Now we do children's birthday parties. We do weddings. We're doing a lot of corporate retreats that want to do something in the evening, something different than the fine convention center trade during the day where they have their business meetings. They'd like to do something at night over at the Battleship. So we're glad to host them.
Yeah, I know that I've talked with Heather Laughlin, your marketing person. For our staff has interacted with her from time to time on different groups, and you've even we've tried to marry up some groups that come from you to us as well. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of a cross pollination, I think, with some of the business.
Yeah, I think we're all a unique product. I really believe that all boats need to rise, and there's a daytime, there's a morning, there's an evening festivity to be had. So all of us offer that in one shape, manner, or form. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of rise, I think that, did I read somewhere that I think the renovation has been in discussions for the updates and maintenance and upkeep of the ship itself that's been in the water now for quite a while.
Yes.
That's happening, right?
So there's really two issues. Number one is I just wanted to share that business is absolutely booming. When I left earlier today, the store was full. Cash registers were ringing. Every cash register in the place, there was a line standing in front of it.
Excellent.
So we're happy because it's not just good for the battleship. It's good for our community because we spend that money.
Yeah, right.
But the second issue is we are in the midst of a generations campaign, and our goal is to get into the technical side of the repairs of the battleship. We're going to build a cofferdam around the ship. We're going to go in and cut steel plate and replace it. A battleship should have hull repairs about every 15 years, and the Battleship North Carolina has not had major repairs since 1953.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're intact and we're hull, but we know that we're an aging problem that needs to be dealt with, and thank goodness with the Generations campaign, we have the state of North Carolina is coming in to support us in a major financial way.
Oh,
we have some large donors with Duke Energy and BB&T and SunTrust and Wells Fargo and others.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had a $3 million donation from the State Employees Credit Union.
Wow.
To build a walkway around the ship that will be dedicated to our veterans and their service.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
We're excited.
Yeah.
Is that going to be around the outside, like at the water level, or is that actually on the ship itself? Where's
no,
it
it'll
go?
Be about 100 feet or so off the ship. And then on the marsh side, it'll be even further.
Oh,
so,
wow, that's neat.
So we need to be able to do repairs to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this memorial walkway around the ship to enhance the experience. And then we also have a grant to build, we call it the Eagles Island Expedition Trail, off through the marsh.
Really?
So that we will be able to include environmental education and enhancements to just visiting
like
the
dock walks? Or?
Yeah, it'll be an elevated dock. Above the marsh, I think we're working with about a 9-foot lateral spread, so two wheelchairs can travel and cross, but it's there for education for our youth.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That's wonderful. So when I moved to Wilmington about 5 years ago, many people shared with me the original fundraising to get the battleship here, and it was every kid in the creation of North Carolina that would contribute a dime. Is that true?
Well, my wife was one of those, and it was a nickel, a dime, or a quarter, And I often enter a room when I speak and say, who gave your nickels and dimes? And so many remember that, because the battleship was brought here not by state appropriations or federal money, but by nickels and dimes from the children. And that's mm-hmm. why we refer to it as the people's battleship.
Yeah, that's wonderful. If fundraising could only happen that way these days, right?
I think a nickel.
Yeah, I actually think that we'd need to inflate it to about $5 a piece, though, right?
Yes.
To cover the repairs. So, so you both sort of operate businesses that market to the outside, as do I. Kim, what are some of the challenges that your business faces to attract as many visitors and reach as many visitors and convention delegates as possible to bring them, you know, make them aware of what Wilmington has to offer?
Well, I think, of course, everyone seems to fall back on this, but the first thing's budget and money. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at our competition around us for bringing meetings in and that type of thing, a lot of the CVB budgets that we go head on to those areas are anywhere from 5 to 10 times what our marketing budget is. So it makes it tough sometimes to be up against those, but we try to be very streamlined and very efficient with the dollars that we do have and go after the markets that we know, you know, will give us a return on our investment. Again, you know, we try to be very strategic. We look at research and that, you know, that type of information before we just go out there and throw something in the wind. Mm-hmm. We work closely with our other partners, with, of course, you know, Susan and the convention center, as well as our other hotels and our attractions such as Terry's, and, you know, try to find out what they're seeing, find out what the trends are, and then go from there. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of our big challenges that's not new to the area, and we're hoping and we're seeing some improvement in that area, is hotel rooms, mm-hmm. especially downtown in our, you know, because we're looking at trying to, you know, be able to establish a true convention center district, you know, where we'd have the product and we'd have the number of rooms that we would be able to go out and bring in these 800 to 1,000 people conventions and be able to utilize all the space that we have in our beautiful convention center. Mm-hmm. And right now, because of the hotel room situation, we're limited. We're looking at more of our conventions are running probably between 250 and 500 versus being able to take that next step up. And, you know, we're excited about the potential that we have with the new rooms coming on board. And then, you know, looking at a whole new type of marketing that we'll be able to do once we get those additional rooms.
Mm-hmm. So most of the hotels right now in our downtown area, we have closest to us, Best Western, next closest is the Hilton, and next closest now is the new Courtyard Marriott. So what else? We know about the Embassy Suites coming in the latter part of 2015.
Right.
And then recently I just heard about the Holiday Inn Express that'll be right up on 3rd Street.
That's correct.
So we are going to have 5 hotels in this downtown area.
And the Loft? Are we having a Loft? There was
There's also talk of the Aloft coming as well. I think
that's new to me.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, there's, you know, a couple of other products that possibly over with the marina development that they're looking at. So
we could conceivably attract, I mean, a nice safe number for a block would probably be anywhere from 500 to an 800 per night block from all of the, you know, the inventory. If a hotel doesn't give up all their hotel inventory to a convention, they could at least give 60% maybe. So that would yield us about, you know, anywhere from 600 to 800 rooms.
Right.
For one night. Right. So that could mean the group could be as much as 2,000.
Right. And that's why I said we'll finally be able, when we get all of this inventory in there, we should be able to use the convention center to its full potential, which is something, you know, we have had large groups in there, but we haven't had the hotel rooms necessarily to tie into those mm-hmm. where they can stay in very close proximity, which is what groups want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, we have several groups right now sitting there in our files waiting for these additional rooms for them to bring their groups in. So we know the business is there. It's just having the infrastructure to be able to bring them in.
Mm-hmm. And one of the infrastructures, of, in addition to hotels, is what, transportation to get around to these hotels. And what I liked about Wilmington, and still I think everybody loves about Wilmington, is the fact that this downtown that already exists, you know, it's just sitting there. waiting to have more visitors, right, visitors come and so forth. So I think the hotels, and then, of course, tying into some sort of transportation method, is going to tie it all together.
I do have to say that the free trolley has really been picking up, and the Bring It Downtown campaign has really helped to make people aware of the free trolley, which helps everybody get back and forth around downtown for free, and it's a really fun little ride. One of our very first shows, we had Wilmington Water Tours, and they were talking at that point about doing some form of water taxi back and forth. Mm. Tell us about, Terry, have you ever given any thought to what a ongoing water taxi system might do for this area? Has it ever crossed your mind?
Ann, I'm glad you asked. Because
He did not ask me to ask it. I'm telling you right now.
Well, we live in our own neighborhood Eagles Island, and we're very happy, and we have great parking and great access to the Battleship North Carolina.
That's right.
But I really honestly feel an obligation to carry this to a higher level. And let's look at this from the systems approach, because we have great tourism sites, but not just the big sites like the Battleship or the Henrietta or Thalian Hall, but we've got these historic homes that could use the support and the visitorship.
Absolutely.
As well as the smaller Serpentarium and other locales, and even the art shops.
Absolutely.
I believe that we have an obligation that everyone needs to be part of this communication. And now we have the visitor center, and it's looking so shiny and new still, and it's great.
The convention center.
Mm-hmm. We have the hotels that are coming. Mm-hmm. That the free trolley is nice, but I still think that we have not optimized the situation with river traffic, transportation between the sites and the hotels, the convention center, because inevitably, someone coming into our town is not going to be familiar with all the parking garages and the nuances
That's
in the parking.
Right.
But they would like to stay at a hotel, call a concierge or a central coordinating number, or be able to pick up the map and go to wherever they want to go, whether it's a historic home, Thalian Hall for an evening performance, or the Battleship, or all the above. And we need to make it easy for them.
Great. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Great. And we
consider
do
it
have,
done.
Yeah, and we do have, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm not right, but Cape Fear Riverboats does run a water taxi currently between the Battleship and the foot of Market Street. So we do have that, but like you're saying, to be able to expand that to include some other stops up and down the river and that type of thing. Because we were talking today, and I think our riverfront area as a whole on both sides, you know, when we talk about riverfront, so many times we refer just to kind of, as we say, the Wilmington side, not the Eagle Island side where the Battleship, but both of those, I think, are very underutilized. And, and that is a big area that the visitors love. They love to come, love to spend time there. And as Terry said, I think that is an area that as we see growth, we see some more development, some more infrastructure needs put in there, that we're going to be able to see some more visitors on both sides of the river.
Yeah, I would like to follow up with that, Kim. I agree. Cape Fear Riverboats and Captain Carl Marshburn does a great job, but we need multiple boat launches. We've got this great marina project that's going in. How cool to take a boat to a restaurant for dinner and then take an evening cruise.
I love it.
Is all part of the package. So we need multiple boat landings up and down the river on both sides.
Hey, come on. I want to fly into the airport and get a shuttle down to Smith Creek and get on a boat and have it take me to my waterfront hotel and my waterfront convention center. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a very large donor that has already pledged money for us to completely rebuild our docks.
Really?
So we're going to do battleship repairs, walkway around the ship, expedition trail, and we're rebuilding our docks with a focus on kayak launches.
Excellent. I have a kayak. We'll just launch that from the end of Castle Street, right?
We live there.
Don't we?
Yeah.
and the one part that we touched on, the marina just north of the brand new convention center, along with the two wonderful restaurants that are going to be joining us shortly in that north area. And some may be aware of the city's project in the future. with their 6.6 acre park.
Right.
They're actually, the city has done a good job to reach out to the community and ask their input and their ideas. And you can learn more about that on the city's website under the Northern Waterfront Development Project. But they're really asking for the community's input and folks like Kim and Terry and anybody in the visitor industry to see what it is people need, see how their park site could enhance or attract more visitors to the downtown area and be an asset to some of the convention business that we have coming in. So we're excited about that.
And to follow up on that, we did our experience. Not only do we have the visitor ship coming to in front of the battleship all the time, but Memorial Day is a big event for us.
Oh, hell yeah.
And this year, the governor spoke, and half the cabinet for the state of North Carolina was here.
I saw that on television.
So we had the Cape Fear riverboats, had the Maffitt. We loaded up our VIP party and went downtown to a restaurant at the George.
Nice.
And unloaded the crew right there at the restaurant. And they could not stop talking about what the wonderful experience to boat over to a restaurant. So we got all the pieces.
Right. Yeah. What do you think? What else do we need? Money?
Well, you know, it could just take entrepreneurial spirit, because somebody's going to open their own bus service say, okay, Mr. Hotel, I want to come by at this schedule and pick up your guests and take them around town. So it could be municipal funding, mm-hmm. But it also could be entrepreneurial funding that just comes in. There have been taxis and there have been rickshaws and there have been golf carts and there have been boats. But, you know, there's a lot of efficiencies in the marketing and the synergy and regular schedule. We need clean, consistent, regular transportation throughout our city, and our city is on both sides of the bank.
And it goes all the way to the beach. And I think there's certainly, if somebody's thinking entrepreneurial, boy, you don't have to worry about plugging your meter every couple minutes at Wrightsville Beach, and you could get some transportation from downtown to the beach. I know an awful lot of people who'd pay $5 for that right there. We're just going to start our own little business here. We got a bunch of entrepreneurs who listen to this show. Let's see if we can get this done. So I am really, really intrigued by the way everybody's working together on this. I know that we've had a lot of discussion in the city about how to better brand ourselves, how to bring more people here. I'm in Raleigh every week, and every week I hear people going, I want to go to the beach with you. I can't believe you get to go back and go to the beach. Everybody is so jealous of the fact that I live in Wilmington. And I think that the way everybody is working together is the only way that we're going to make this even more successful.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I recently sat in on a presentation that your very capable marketing staff, by the way, Sean Braden leads, has, and your other staff just do a phenomenal job of taking the dollars that they have and making that into a marvelous campaign for this entire region, which is no small feat.
Right.
But she talked about and introduced this campaign called Spread the Wilm.
Yeah.
And what I only heard parts of it. My sales staff told me a little bit about, tell us about that. It sounded so intriguing.
Well, what we've done is we've come up with a hashtag, of course, hashtag Spread the Wilm. And what we're doing is we're trying to get more involvement, not only from our visitors, but from our community as a whole, and for people to take pride here in Wilmington, to go out and share the pictures with the hashtag. You know, right now, the internet, our social media sites, that's it. You know, people are just, we have found out through research that that's the number one thing that visitors do while they're on vacation is post to, you know, their Facebook or post
or
to
Instagram
or, you know, the Twitter feeds and that type of thing. So we wanted to be able to get on board with that and find a way that we could not only get our visitors to do that, but get our locals to do that and start building. What we're doing is we're actually harvesting all of these photos and comments and everything into one site on our site and also spreadthewilm.com site. And it's given us an opportunity just to build our library of, you know, photos and testimonies and that mm-hmm. type of thing of experiences people have. The real premise behind all of this was we found out one of the number one reasons that people come to our region is to visit family and friends. So who better to educate about our area and keep them on top of what's happening and get them involved and enthusiastic than to get them involved in a campaign such as this. So it's been very successful. We have video on the site. We have toolkits for our entire business community to take part in.
Cute bumper stickers.
Yeah,
everybody go get your bumper stickers.
That's right. And we have loads of buttons and stickers. And so, you know, we just invite everyone to, you know, get out there and hashtag spread the Wilm with us.
So that's what they go on their phone, and is it like a Facebook thing or
any social media?
Yeah, any of the social media they can do it through. So, and we also were able to, we went before city council this week on Tuesday evening, and we actually, the city of Wilmington has recognized June 30th, which is Social Media Day, as Spread the Wilm Day. So there was a resolution passed, and we're excited about that. And again, that'll give us hopefully another bump on Monday. On June the 30th, as we're able to, you know, take off again and rebroadcast and re-talk about Spread the Wilm.
What have you seen with, what kinds of things are people writing in or talking about?
Well, the big thing is the photos. You know, most people are doing the photos and then hashtagging and putting those on there. And we've just had some phenomenal photography on from that. Again, like I said, you can go to our website. You can see what's been captured there through Social Moments and just some beautiful pictures that they've been sharing of our area. And of course, you know, we can't always catch those. We've got beautiful sunrises, sunsets, you know, food opportunities, fishing, you know, a little bit of everything. So it's been real interesting to see what they have posted and how they're sharing.
I do think that one of the things that you're doing so well with this campaign is involving the people who live in Wilmington.
Right.
People who live in Wilmington are proud of their city. And we spend lots of money here.
Right.
You know, we spend lots of money doing things with our friends and family who come to visit.
Right.
And we're always looking for something. So this campaign is fabulous for that purpose, that we can always go, gosh, what should we do today? It's going to be a rainy day, or it's going to be 110. It's too hot to go to the battleship. I'm sorry, Terry, but if it's 110, it's too hot to go to the battleship.
1,000 people today. I guarantee it.
They're so much better than I am. But, you know, there's always like, sometimes you go blank. And so to have a hashtag feed like Spread the Wilm is a great way for people to just go, I don't know what to do today. Let's just go to this hashtag and see what people are posting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Terry, you have a great staff over there that helps you reach out to markets outside. What are some of the key things that Heather and your team do that?
Well, it's, you know, we base a lot of our decisions off of real data. And we had a analysis done by the Keenan Flagler Business School from Chapel Hill. And they helped us understand that 60% of our guests come from greater than 2 hours from the battleship. So many locals do have family and friends that come to the battleship.
Sure.
But we started spending money in Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham area, and we have a great, strong footprint, billboards, online media advertising, and also these projects that we're working on are very successful and draw the Associated Press and whatever. So we're a destination to ourselves.
I was thinking one nice way to maybe wrap up the show today would be to ask each of you to offer up one thing that's coming up on your agenda that you think you want to make sure that everybody knows about, that you could take the last minute in your wind up to tell us, A, how they find out about it, and B, what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start. At the beautiful Wilmington Convention Center, we have a fabulous event coming on July 2nd. Now, this is a very important time. It's the 50th year anniversary of the signing of the Civil Rights Act in the United States. And what a time, this was in the 60s, what a time, horrible time that was for many people, but a great time that it, you know, just did so many great things for against discrimination.
There was a lot of sacrifice during that time, and there was a lot of change going on in people's minds.
And so we have a wonderful luncheon in which the speaker, Alice Walker, who was the author of The Color Purple, was later made into a movie in 1985, a wonderful movie, The Color Purple.
And a Tony Award-winning Broadway production.
And she will be the keynote speaker at this luncheon. There's a variety of events going on with the civil rights month, and we're happy to be the host of that. You can go onto our website.
It's really exciting.
businessmadecasual.com and find out how to attend this wonderful function.
So. That's great. So there'll be a luncheon that she's speaking at, and that's on
July 2nd.
12 to 2:30, and tickets are available through a link on your website.
Yes.
Excellent. businessmadecasual.com.
We're excited to have them.
What's going on at the battleship, Terry?
Well, and, you know, we've talked a lot about infrastructure kind of stuff going on at the battleship, but I also want to just point out is if you haven't visited the battleship recently, that you need to come in and see, because we're actually transforming our message. We've gone away from the battles and the war fighting that she did during World War II and focusing more on the service of the men and women of our country.
Great.
And we've added a lot of video. We just made a selection yesterday for a company. We're going to take the battleship Wi-Fi.
Oh, great.
And I have to say, I squealed like a school child yesterday when someone showed me some augmented reality that had been done for the battleship North Carolina. So if you're familiar with augmented reality,
absolutely,
it really brings the experience alive. So we're transforming. We want people to come see it.
Excellent. And if people want to go to the website, what is your web address?
Well, battleshipnc.com is our primary website. We just went mobile in the last week.
Wow, good for you.
We just took our online collection public as well. It's the largest military-related collection in the southeastern United States. That went last October.
Wow.
But battleshipnc.com gets you started, and you can work from there.
Super. Thank you. Okay, Kim, what's going on at the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau?
Well, of course, we promote the whole area, and the next big thing in our area, of course, will be July 4th weekend.
Woo-hoo!
So all the festivities, all the activities, you can visit our website at wilmingtonandbeaches.com and look in our calendar of events and find out all the great things that are, you know, going to be going on in our area during that weekend. And again, you know, to encourage people that are out there, if you're a member of an association, a group, a professional group, reunion, whatever, you know, contact us, contact the convention center, and let's bring more conventions and meetings and groups into our area and use our locals as an opportunity to help us with that business as well.
Great.
Woohoo.
And what's that hashtag?
Hashtag spreadthewilm.com.
Excellent. Hey, what a great show. Thanks you all of you for being here today, taking time out of your schedules.
Well, thanks, Anne.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks.
It's fun.
And this is Anne, along with Susan Eaton, for our special edition of the Wilmington Convention Center show on Wilmington Business Radio. Until next time.